episode of The Comedy Fix. You remember us. It's me, Chris, my buddies, my friends, my co-hosts, two of the great loves of my life, Jamie, Sam. We're back. Back to talk a little fucking improv, performance, art, all of it. I'm in a mood this morning because we haven't even touched base yet, just as friends. We jumped onto this to this call. We haven't even said proper hellos, and now we're already recording. Sam, Jamie, what's good?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having us back in the new year.
You got it. I was thinking, you know, I should really do something for those boys. I'll get you guys back on.
Thank you.
Sam, how was your how's your new year going so far?
New year's going great. I like 24, you know, it seems like it's a good number. I don't know if I should start with improv stuff or just life stuff, but life's good. Life's good.
Hey, I like to hear that. Life's good.
That's good. What about you guys? You guys are busy. I keep seeing, I think it's the most trafficked YouTube improv channel right now, or the most frequent posting is the Chris Alvarado YouTube channel, because I keep seeing shows getting posted there all the time.
That's so interesting. Like, I don't consider it a YouTube channel at all. I consider it a library, you know, where I'm just keeping these shows, but they are adding up. I'm posting every Heyday show. I'm posting all the stuff Jamie and I do. I'm posting all the Pretty Pretty Ponies, Organism. It's like, it's kind of cool.
I get like a show a week. It's a little bit of a delayed window, but I think sure. That's good. It encourages people to show up to the real thing, you know?
If I'm being honest, I'm always shocked when I see, like, and I'm not kidding you, I'm not doing a joke, like 24 views. I'm like, damn, 24 people watch this fucking Loose Herald. Jamie, I mean, I see you all the time and you're very, very busy. How's this new year starting out for you?
It's good. I started out in New York and Philly. I visited Sam. I actually saw him in person on the East.
Did you give him a hug?
I don't know that we actually exchanged hug, but we shook hands.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's more our style.
Yeah.
I was in New York and Philly doing clown, teaching some clown cardio classes, and then back in LA doing more of the same, taking more clown classes, teaching more clown cardio classes, performing improv. Now every single Monday, thanks to Liam's and yours and my dual residencies at the West Side, which is a gift and a curse all wrapped into one, because I'll never have a Monday. And there's a strange amount of things that happen on a Monday that I wish I could go to. There's a lot of shows. There's a lot of good, interesting classes that happen on a Monday night, maybe because that's when theaters are cheap. But a lot of really good stuff happens on a Monday night, and I just can't go to any of it. I'm performing all the time. I'm a machine. What can I say?
Well, I feel like I mentioned this to you just the other day, but I feel like you like agreed with me, but I almost specifically remember telling you a few months ago, you need to pump the brakes a little bit, dude.
Yeah. We were at the IFTP Lofts. I remember this was probably early August, maybe.
And, I remember it. And, but also listen, I mean, what does that mean? I know you're doing a lot, and recently you've been feeling it a little bit more, just a little bit more. You've been feeling some of that tiredness. Sam, I mean, this guy is nonstop.
I just pumped the brakes. I took a class in the fall. We had an improvised Shakespeare, which was very fun. But it was just sort of like having that weekly commitment. I taught a class over the summer. So it was just sort of like keep having a weekly commitment all the year was just kind of getting on me, because I couldn't do the spontaneous trip or I just heard about the thing. So now consciously, like, I'm coaching one team. I have one team that I'm playing with. We have a couple shows here and there, but nothing like regular. And that's been like a good place for me to be, because I have to like read, right? I have to like consume other media. I have to like fill up my cup a little bit and then get back into like the improv grind. But I gotta take a break.
No, that makes sense. But Jamie's also in the middle of launching a full freaking business here. I mean, it is launched, and I know we don't want to spend a lot of time on this, Jamie, but we got to talk a little bit about the popularity and success of Clown Cardio. You can talk about the details. from the outside, it's wild. It feels like just a couple months ago, you had an idea and a fun idea that you were like, this is not going to be a lot of pressure. I don't have to. And then all of a sudden, fast forward, it is blowing up. New York Times featured, the digital and the paper print. Everybody in my friend group, you know, who's been doing this forever, is like sending me a message or sending me a thing like, clown, what is this? Did I see you in the paper? Tell me more about this. It is spread in our, and Sam, think about all the people, myself included, who have tried to make any money in this field at all. You know, I'll do these workshops. I'll start this theater, I'll whatever. And then this weird little idea off to the side is catching fire. Tell us what's going on with Clown Cardio, Jamie.
Yeah, it's been really exciting. It's funny because the Comedy Fix kind of has become like this archive of the process of Clown Cardio, because I think I first presented the idea. We first talked about it right when before I even had my first class in September. Mm-hmm. And I remember Chris saying something very kind, which, you know, this could be the next soul cycle or something like that. And somehow it's kind of tapped into something where people want to have fun. They don't want to work. They don't want to learn how to be a clown. They don't want to learn improv. They never want to perform in their life, but they want to have fun. And they want exercise. So it's kind of tapped into these two things that are very popular and beneficial for people that I think gets them excited about doing it. The New York Times thing was wild. Because I got contacted kind of out of nowhere, and they were just really interested in it and did an article on it. It's been in print, and that's led to a lot of other opportunities, which I can't speak about just yet because they haven't come out. But I've been contacted by lots of TV shows and management people who are interested in somehow featuring this or bringing this in. It's been such a boon because it's really gotten so much attention on it and kind of given me a little bit of a stamp of validation. Because I knew that what I was doing was fun and worthwhile, but to the outside observer, this is just some weird clown stuff. But now if you Google it, the first thing that comes up is the New York Times article talking about it, which kind of legitimizes it. Fortunately and unfortunately, it's unfortunate that I needed that kind of legitimization, but it's fortunate that I at least now have it. So it's been very exciting. It takes up all of my mental space and energy, which is why I'm feeling the burnout, is because I'm trying to launch, you know, this whole clown cardio thing and really ride whatever wave this is. But I don't know how to do it. I'm a clown running a business and I don't know what I'm doing. So it's been fun and exciting, and I look forward to seeing where it goes. Okay.
It was great having it come to Philly because, you know, it was very easy to tell people about it. I thought we had a nice group come together and, you know, people that you'd never met before had heard about you, had a great time. Right. And some of them had a lot of performing experience. Some of them had like no performing experience. But it was it was very cool to just kind of see you like dropped into a completely different, you know, American metropolitan city and see like, yeah, this thing works. Right. We can all have fun together.
Yeah, that was a very cool. So I taught a clown cardio class in Philly when I visited Sam, and then I taught one in New York City when I was up there as well. And yeah, it was just more proof of concept. Like, this isn't just like an LA one-off. Like, people who this works for just people, which mm-hmm. is kind of what I've been thinking about a lot lately, performatively and with respect to clown. Is clown should just work for people. There shouldn't be this exclusionary kind of high art clown that kind of puts people off. To me, clown's essence is bringing people together, touching into our universal human experience that transcends gender, race, politics, all that other stuff. And I think I'm excited that I've kind of been able to craft something that I feel like taps into that, where these clown cardio classes, there's people from all walks of life. There's 15-year-olds and there's literally 80-year-olds who are playing together, which is so cool, because if it's not your grandma, when do you meet another 80-year-old and play around with that person and connect with them? So it has been kind of walking the walk that I've been talking for a while, which has been very exciting for me artistically as well as professionally.
Love it. No, it's great. I mean, look,
it is great.
I think it's also cool to be sort of like open and acknowledge the validation component, because isn't that something like we all struggle with, not just as like performers in different aspects, but like also especially as improvisers, right? I mean, there's such a toxic relationship with like the validation of a theater, right? Or a validation of a community. And then it kind of becomes like a cult of personality in some kind of a way. And so I think it's hard to feel like you're being seen in a positive way. And you're right, Chris. I mean, Lord knows I've done many projects that the New York Times hasn't reached out to me about. I mean, my DMs are open.
They will.
If you want to say hi, but you know, it's great. It's been fun to sort of watch it go. And I'm very curious to see like how it develops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It's really cool. It couldn't happen to a better guy. You know, you work hard, Jamie, and you're smart and have great work ethic and just a good dude. So it's like,
Better people it could happen to.
For sure.
Like, I don't want to say like couldn't happen to a better, like it could, there are better people it could
That's
happen.
That's true.
Okay.
You know, that does, I mean, this is probably going to be the conversation of my lifetime, but it does feel like a kind of decent segue into like the validation thing, Sam, writing this line between art and commerce and one day feeling completely one way about it and the other, you know what I'm trying to say. And like, that's tough. That's such a weird line to fucking walk. That's so hard for me. What are you laughing about?
The Oscar nominations came out yesterday. Did you see the Paul Giamatti quote?
No.
So Paul Giamatti, major actor who's had a wildly successful career. And he said when he first heard he got the nomination, he was like, oh, maybe this wasn't a bad decision after all, or like something to that effect. And it's just sort of like, wow. And it's very humbling for me to kind of remember. And I've worked with people like this too, who have been wildly successful. And still, every time they have a table read, they're nervous. Is it going to go well? Right. And then, you know, fortunately in comedy, I think the laughter is a good validation mechanism, for better or worse, maybe some people will say, but I do get that a little bit when I go on stage. But man, it's a tough thing for sure, especially when money's involved. Ooh.
Yeah. And like, yeah, the laughter, if you can get people in the house to even begin to laugh, you know, that's weird. And then once they're there to laugh, you go, well, I don't want to just make them laugh. I also want to make them think. I want to make me think. I want to make me laugh. And now here comes the collision of ideas in my mind. I will say, I know we're doing a bunch of commercials today, but I think Organism, our newer group that we haven't really spoken much about on this podcast, it's me and Jamie and two of our favorite women. That sounds weird. Two of our favorite women. I never know how to say it. Just
friends of the pod, guests.
Friends of the pod, Doc of the Bay. I think somewhere in there is a decent balance of the art and, you know, the commercy, like doing well, though. Maybe I shouldn't even be, maybe that formula I shouldn't even be super concerned with. Like when the anxiety pops up for me that nobody's coming or that a lot of people are coming, should I even be tapped into that part of me? Or should that be completely removed and just focus on the connection I'm about to make tonight, the stories I'm going to tell tonight, you know? So I'm like, yay, everyone's here. And then simultaneously I go, but I shouldn't be so worried about that because that's not why I'm doing this. And then, well, but why are you, you know what I'm saying? It gets very confusing in my mind. And as of late, it's been kind of consuming me and it's bleeding into my classes. I just started a new 6-week class and like, even in there, and then it's hard to look at these students in the eyes depending on how I'm feeling on any given day and tell them one way or the other to go. I don't know. I'm all confused. Talk to me. Fix me.
Our comedy coach said something to our team the other night, and I don't think I'm speaking out of class or anything, but he just sort of like made the comment that like some teams do better in performance than they do in rehearsal, and some teams do better in rehearsal than in performance. And just as you're talking, I'm kind of reminded of that from like a validation perspective, because if we're just doing the art for the art's sake, is rehearsal enough then? If we're just doing the validation for the validation's sake, is that why people don't rehearse and they just do shows? you know, and like the whole commercial thing is like a whole other thing too. But even just from like an artist perspective of what art do I create for myself? You know, do I write that novel and just stick it in a drawer? And what art do I create to really share with people? Because that's how I express myself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and it's weird because not only do I have Organism, but I have Pretty Pretty Pony and I have Heyday, which are all on different points of the spectrum of, you know, mm-hmm. with Pretty Pretty Pony being more of like a showcase time, more of like laughs per minute versus the artsy stuff. And Heyday's probably in between. Yeah. And then yeah. Organism's on the other side. And I guess I should just consider myself lucky that I have the opportunity to spend time in all of them, because I don't think one is necessarily better than the other is the difference, which is nice.
Yeah. I'm also reminded of like my toxic relationship with like validation of a teacher, right? Where like, I really want to be the good student. I want to show you that I'm taking the note. And it's funny because I'm thinking of Jamie. And I think sometimes just how Jamie is as a student, he can be invalidated by a teacher, right? Mm-hmm. The teacher doesn't see what he's trying to do, or the teacher might not appreciate the nuance there. And I don't know, Jamie, if you've ever felt sort of like the flip side of this, have you ever felt like invalidated in a class or by an audience or just like in any situation?
Yeah, I mean, particularly several years ago, pre-pandemic, when I was working with a lot of different teachers at that time. Now I've kind of picked some favorites and I'm working more exclusively with people that I feel like are on the same wavelength. But in that time before, I had really connected with these people, and I would often find that teachers were giving me the note that they wanted to give rather than actually trying to understand what I was going for or understand my point of view. And so the notes, I eventually learned that, oh, this person just doesn't get it. And, you know, sometimes that sounds like weak and flimsy, like, oh, you didn't like my scene. I guess you just didn't get it. But I do think that that's kind of what was going on, is a lot of times teachers, maybe because they do it so much that they don't have the brain space to really take the time to really connect with each individual student and understand each individual student and, you know, really consider something outside their own perspective. I find that they just kind of regurgitate what they learned. And so it was frustrating at first, but ultimately I kind of learned that, like, oh, this is kind of what's happening. And then I stopped looking for teacher validation. I was just looking for more people who like were on the same wavelength. So I would kind of go to a class, but I would be testing the teacher to see, like, do we talk the same language here? And if we didn't, then I probably wouldn't even finish that class. I would just move on.
To most teachers, well, I can't speak to most teachers, but I'm just going to speak for the teacher side of that argument. Like you said, it is tough to deal with 12, 16 individual students up there with their own different desires, wants, needs. And really, the last thing I want to do is have a discussion with, sound rude, but like, you know, student X's idea of maybe what this should be. You are kind of a little more particular, Jamie. I don't know how to explain it, kind of different, but like, that sounds like a nightmare. And I can kind of understand these students maybe not giving, pardon me, these teachers not giving you what you wanted, because it's a weird situation for a student to look at you and be like, well, but I think it's this. I'm not saying this correctly. It's just, it's hard to do that. It's hard to hear everyone out. Because I guess what I'm trying to say is most students aren't, they're students.
Well, yeah, they're not thinking about it at the level like Jamie is. Like, I don't know why this example popped in my head, but it's like, if you're teaching a one-on-one level improv class and one of your students happens to be Patrick Stewart, like, you didn't know who Patrick Stewart was, like, they might say, oh, well, what I was going for in the scene, you'd be like, yeah, I just want you to say yes. Like, well, no, but that's like,
I think that's a great example. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, and I understand the teacher perspective as well. I have taught and coached, and sometimes, and I've even been in classes with you, Chris, where you're running the class and some student, you know, gives you pushback. Oh, I was going to get there. I know that note, that response drives you crazy. I could see the nails on the chalkboard in your mind when somebody says that. So I get it. It's complicated. It's not all one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, can we dive into that? What is, because this just happened to me recently in a coaching session where I did the side coach thing. I was like, just say the thing. And they were like, I was about to. And I'm like,
oh,
okay, well, I'm sorry for interrupting, but like, also you have to get there. Like, what's your thought in that moment?
Nothing drives me more crazy than that moment. Nothing drives me more crazy than that moment. And it's not only, it's occasionally a student has looked at me and said like, oh, that was like my next thing. Okay, like let's, but it's the other student that is like shocked. How dare me interrupt their scene when they were just about to get to the thing that I was going to note them on. Like they are offended that I stopped this scene. Those are the ones that drive me the craziest. I was going to get there and I go, what are we waiting for? Why aren't we already there? Let's go. You think I want to see more of this fucking mundane bullshit as a leading up to what? We're not having a good time leading up to this moment where you were going to get there. Can we get there now? Let's just do that. And so then we can all like have a good time and not be upset watching the scene. I was going to get there. Oh boy. Oh, that one, it just, and listen, I have also been too hasty in my note of that. And just recently, maybe it was in my last class, I said something to the effect, they said something to that effect, but they were very like nice about it. And I said, well, what was your next line going to be? And they spelled it out for me and it was right on the money. And then I had to admit that maybe I have a hair trigger on the, you know, I'm anticipating this moment too much. Or time and time again, I see students pass by the moment. And here I'm like, here we go again. So I might jump in too early. I will admit. And I don't need to punish anybody.
That's a hard balance though. How do you, you know, you give them a little bit, you have the idea that like, this is what they need to say. You give them a couple of lines to say it. And then if they don't say it, you kind of got to prompt it.
Well, and we've had that version too, where I go, okay, go ahead. And then I'm like, where is it? They still haven't gotten to it. Also, I sound like I'm being an asshole right now. I think I am very, very encouraging in class. And I think any spike in blood pressure is more passion and less like being mean to students. Like that's not my deal, but that one gets me. I was going to get to it.
Yeah, it's a fun one for your live direct, Jamie. I'm getting to it. Just like the whole scene.
Oh, God. By the way, those live direct, we've had two live direct shows? One, two.
One show and one audition, yeah.
No, didn't you do a one-off, because Chris recorded them all and I've watched them. You did That's a right. one-off as sort of like a proof of concept. Then you had your audition and then you've had your first residency.
Yeah, it went so well. I think they're getting better and better. Like you said, yeah, it was. You're right. Good memory, Sam. Yeah, because one of them was as the park. The park invited me, mm-hmm. And then the audition, which we thought was fine, but ended up doing really, really well. We're having fun with that.
A lot of fun, Sam. We thought the audition went fine. Like I left, I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna make it. We scored at the top of the entire audition list, equal with Heyday, but those two teams were tied for the top score among, you know, 36 other teams. So
what do they have in common? What does Heyday and the Chris Alvarado live direct have in common? I'll figure it out. Let me think about it. I'll figure it out.
That's funny. And then, you know, some truth to that. I'm very good at this. You know what I mean? That makes sense. But I mean, but to what Jamie's saying, even I was shocked. Like, whoa.
So, okay, let's circle it back to validation, yeah. Because I think that's really fascinating, right? Which is, and I had this experience on Monday where we do an opening that's flock based, and like sometimes you're in the back, right? And sometimes you're in the back and it's like, hey, there's too much talking. So like, all right, now I'm in the back and now I'm quiet. Like, what am I doing? And apparently I'm doing this thing called acting where you show emotion with your face. I don't know. I'm trying it. But I'm like, is this going well? And it's like, the feedback you get is like, this is the best you've done them. And inside of it, I'm like, I don't feel good doing this. And it sounds like you had a similar experience where you were on stage, you're coming off, you're like, it was okay. Not like terrible, but like it didn't. But then you get the validation from a committee of world renowned judges that say, you know, this is as and good
furthermore,
as
Sam, in the green room the other night before a different show, one of the judges said, I don't know if we're allowed to speak about auditions outside of the process, but that show was so fantastic and just what we needed and just what this art form needed, and they really went off.
Wow.
And but you know, it's okay, let's keep, I think the title of this is going to be validation of this, because let's talk about that. Like, that feels like validation with a lowercase v. That feels, if the, it always feels good to have positive feedback, I understand that, but if it doesn't align with my taste, I think in my life, I think my whole life, I would put other people's validation above what I felt to be good or bad, right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? So like, there might've been a younger Chris who heard from that judge in that green room and then said to myself, wow, I guess I'm really good. Where this one, I can take it with a grain of salt and go like, I understand that you had a good time with it and that makes me happy. That particular show still didn't align with my taste of what I would want to do. And what I'm trying to do, Sam, is continue to carve and hone my taste. And it can fluctuate, I understand, from day to day or show to show. But because for so long I was led around by the nose, by everyone else telling me, yes, this, no, that, yes, this, no, that. I didn't know which way was up anymore. So it is nice to maybe just all my age and my experience to kind of be in a place where I can take that, I can receive the positive, you know, stuff, but go, okay, I'm not hinging my identity upon this moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the most mature things that you can do. And I think it can be really challenging when you're, you know, a young artist of any kind to sort of find your own direction and point your own way. I think that's a very hard thing to do.
But I feel like you two have that, and I'm seeing it now with like Liam and stuff, got there much quicker than I did.
But Liam doesn't have it.
That's true. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I, by the way, that's what I've been waiting for, Sam. Sam, yeah. That's what I've been waiting for, dude. Come at that motherfucker. Yeah. You know what I mean? What the fuck is
this? Yeah, I mean, it was honestly one of the things with working with Jamie that I really appreciated, which is just sort of like the validation of another creative voice who is similar to mine. Like, oh, you're kind of interested in the same things I'm interested in. Oh, your sense of humor is very similar to my sense of humor. I had a very challenging time commercially because I had a hard time finding people like that. And I was like, oh, that's just not my sense of humor. And I'm trying to make it work. And, you know, you can force some of that stuff sometimes. But boy, when it's just sort of natural, it's just so different. Right.
Jamie, I will let you speak. But just on that, and I know we've mentioned it a few times here, watching you two in the quote unquote lab really changed a lot of things for me. And by the way, we were failing 82% of the time. Like, but I had never seen two people so enthusiastic reaching towards like a common goal. And that goal being, I don't know, weird physicality and absurd and abstract stuff, but going so, so hard at it, where I've coached a million other teams who have the same general mediocre idea of what a good piece should look like. And I didn't feel that passion. So if you had to put those teams up against your duo when we first started, an audience would probably give them more laughter. Somehow I was being so fueled and inspired by you two. I had never seen something like that before. It was really, really cool. And really, it really changed the way I see and do all of this. So that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah,
it was personally, I, you know, when you get validation, it's nice and I'll gladly accept it, but it's not been a terribly strong motivator for me. It has been more important to try to find creative collaborators that saw things similarly. And Sam being one of those, Chris, same for you. Liam as well, just kind of having a lot of overlap in those Venn diagrams where you can kind of effortlessly speak the same language and kind of pursue the same goals. That's been much more exciting to me to find that creative chemistry than it has been to, you know, get a high score on a residency West Side score sheet. which even to even it's nice that we got it and I enjoy performing there for the most part. But like, it doesn't really change me at all. Like, I don't feel better about myself or worse about myself. Like, it doesn't affect my trajectory. It's just like, oh, okay, interesting. We've tapped into something. It's more like I feel like I observe that validation rather than crave it so much. And I'm not saying I'm some kind of like Buddhist genius monk who needs no external validation. I'm just saying when it comes to improv and art, it's more exciting to me, like the creative process. I'm one of those people who I never have to perform. I'm completely happy rehearsing and that being the extent of it. It's way more enjoyable for me to see like what we come up with in rehearsals than it is to like do shows. I don't know. Shows feel like chores, to be honest.
I think it's because we're coming at this from a different, many different places. One, first of all, when I was coming up, doing well in an improv show meant that maybe there could be somebody there watching it that could help you with your career. And I don't mean become famous. I mean, get on a fucking show where you can have insurance. So validation wasn't just like fun for the ego. It meant I might have a career. There's a reason why everybody was and still continues to spend all this time auditioning at UCB and stuff, right? Like there was kind of a path towards success in a career where it doesn't feel like neither you nor Liam want to be on Saturday Night Live next year. And so your motivations are different, and not for better or worse, just different, which is why it's been refreshing, because there's not a desperation to the way you play. And you're right, the validation probably hits differently. But I guess I just want to like speak for team capital V validation, which is where I was for a very long time. But now I feel like I'm in a privileged position just because of the way my life has gone and my opportunities that I don't need an industry to say I'm good to give me a career anymore. I'd still like to have more success, but it's kind of shifted. A good show back in the day, Jamie, meant like, oof, maybe, you know, Odenkirk's going to sign me and then I'm going to be on an NBC sitcom. It was a different drive, I think. And that probably fucks with a lot of the art of the game. I don't know. For some reason, I feel I want to speak up for that side of it, because I don't know if it's a fair comparison that when you walk up having studied something else with a different career, it's not, that's, the, of course you're fine doing it almost in a vacuum, in a rehearsal space where those who want to, you know, do more with it professionally need that. I don't know. Is there something there?
Is validation close to being synonymous with commerce? Are we talking about, like, I know they're not one and the same because I can think of a few nuanced differences, but like, is that really what we're talking about? Is that the validation? Is like, that means money. That means like social success.
Yes. That means butts in seats. Yes. That means tickets sold. All that means money. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not what validation means.
I think there's a connection there. Talk to us, Sam. Tell us, teach us.
I mean, that's so interesting to hear you say, put it in this context, Chris, because I think you're right. Like if you go into an acting career and you say, well, the only way I'll feel validated is if I win an Oscar, or the only way I'll feel validated going into comedy is if I'm on SNL, that's you're setting yourself up for an impossible task, right? Like really you're setting yourself in a bad way. If you are looking for some validation, right? That could just be, oh, you went to an audition for a team and you got selected for the team. And you know, you could make a very tenuous economic argument that leads to a social capital commerce situation, or that leads to the commerce of more stage time. I don't know quite there, but you know, when I think of validation, I've been lucky enough that it's not always tied to my paycheck. And that's actually really helped me get a better handle on validation, is being able to say like, I have a day job and I have a creative life, and those two things don't have to be the same, has really helped me like then focus on, well, what are the things I find validating? Well, a lot of times it's just like making someone laugh with a stupid bit. And that's nice for me, but that doesn't help everyone. And that's not true for everyone. And there are certainly other people who that wouldn't be enough validation for the amount of time and energy they've invested into it, right? If it's 40 years of improv and my only validation is that one person smiled in one show, that sounds like a very small V validation.
Yes. And yes. Jamie, do you think that this is not fully thought out, so you can probably tear it apart easily, but do you think in some regards you have a leg up on the person who is trying to, you know, use performance as a career stepping stone? Do you think they might feel a little more under the gun, so to speak, or like that these shows need to hit where you could just walk away one way or the other? Do you think that there's more pressure and therefore that might be a little more, I don't know if the word is difficult, but like, it's just like maybe, I don't know if the word is also is a harder road. I don't know. Do you kind of hear what I'm saying? And do you, is there any validity to that?
I've consciously avoided making choices where I have to make money with my performance, with my art. I really try to keep those separate, which is why I have my lawyer day job and have a professional side unrelated to improv. Because I never wanted my art and my fun, which improv and clown have always been, I do it for fun. I never wanted that to be a job because then it's not fun anymore. Then now it's stressful. Then now I think about it differently. Now I think about, like you're saying, more of the commerce aspects of it. How many butts do I have in the seats as opposed to let's just try something, you know? And, you know, maybe if you have, you know, complete faith in yourself, you don't need that kind of safety net. Or if you have wealthy parents, which I know some people do, and then they're free to just perform at their leisure, which good for them. That's great. But at the same time, you know, I appreciate the seriousness with which people who have to make money through their art take their art. You know, that was one of the things when Liam and I did the ballet this December that I observed is like, this is their livelihoods, their careers, and everybody's there to like fucking win it. And that was so inspiring. And I hope to take that seriousness with me into improv. And I always have, because I love it so much that I always take it seriously. But when I teach improv and I see people who are like, oh, this is fun, let's just hang out and whatever. And, you know, the shows are crap and you didn't, you know, it's a bunch of beer in a bucket, which is disgusting. It's like, it's just, I don't know. I appreciate the you know, the results, you know, diamonds are made under pressure kind of mentality, mm-hmm. where it's like, I needed to make this work, so I did. And they think about it and they care about it and they really hone it to the best of their ability. But at the same time, for me, that's not fun. I do that because I love it, not because I need to make money with the show. So I kind of, it was a bunch of word salad, but yeah. I'm kind of all over the place with, I kind of like how I have it set up, but I still want people to take their art more seriously. I guess that's where I land.
That pressure thing is wild, man. It's funny. I was watching that Netflix tennis documentary Breakpoint or something like that. And they keep showing this plaque by Billie Jean King. Is that her name? It says pressure is a privilege. And I think that's so interesting. I've buckled under pressure more times than I've succeeded in a performance scenario. And I mean, I could even get emotional about that. It's like, and it could just all have been in my head, but these opportunities or these auditions that I feel like would change my life. And I mean, like literally, like, you know, if I had two seasons as a season regular on a fucking Happy Endings or whatever the fuck, that would change my life, would have changed my life. And I know an audition is different than improv, but some people in the past would be like, you're so good on stage, just bring that confidence into the room or whatever. Or even auditioning on the stage for a Second City position and say, man, you know, when it feels like life or death and I just buckle, I stutter, I speak too fast, I run past a joke, I'm not listening, or those have been some of like the worst. I can feel the anxiety in my chest right now. The amount of times I've gotten to be on set, lucky enough to be on set, it's like I'm always filled with anxiety. But there are others in my same position that were able to fucking knock it out of the park in those moments. And I don't know what that says about them. Maybe they're just funnier or better or not. Maybe that's not the way you judge those things. But I'm saying all this because today, I just, as we're doing this podcast right now, I got an audition for tomorrow. That used to sink my stomach. I used to go, fuck, which is a weird reaction when this is the thing you say you want to do. And I'm so thankful I don't feel that way today, because it's not, like you said, Sam, that's not where my paycheck is coming from anymore. I don't know. So I kind of felt like I've been on both sides of it. And for me, just because maybe, I don't know, I'm weak or something, it feels better on this side. But I also recognize my privilege too, that like I get to go experiment. We get to rent space, Jamie, with, you know, it doesn't matter if people show up or not. These are things that I couldn't do a few years ago. And I like the work I'm doing now. And it's not as important. Of course, it's still, I still have an ego and I do like that validation, but like, it's a fun place to be. But fuck, you know, I don't miss the days of like the big, big pressure, except for the fact that I wish I would have fucking nailed it and then been like, see, I am, you know, I was made for this. That's a whole different conversation, how you, anyway, because that's like traumas and shit showing themselves in the moment where you need to be funny. Okay, I'm done talking.
Well, it's such a tricky validation. It's such a tricky concept because, you know, let's say you do get that huge external validation. It's easy to say, oh, I don't really care about that, you know, but like, it's because you fucking have it already, you know, as opposed to it's like, oh, just be humble and keep up the good work while you're fucking making $1 million an episode on a TV show. Yeah, thank you. But at the same time, maybe that's true. You know, maybe it is just keep up the good work and stuff like that will happen because you're passionate about what you're doing and that passion is exciting to people. And, you know, you can build from there or something. Or the opposite, you know, oh, we didn't get the West Side residency. They just didn't understand us. They didn't get it. You know, it's like it's easy to dismiss. So it's so tricky to even approach that subject because it's so easy to have your rationalizations and defense mechanisms pop up to skew how you actually feel about that. So I don't know. I don't have a specific answer to that other than it's really tricky.
Yeah. I'm also struck listening to that like what is getting validated, you know, like jobs can come from networking. So are we validating that person had a really good audition? Or are we validating that person's friends with the showrunner? Are we validating, you know, there's so many different ways that those things can come around so that then it becomes, well, if I'm getting the sign from this external source, do I really know what they're basing that decision on or like why I'm getting that? I don't know. I'm thinking of one time, one of the jobs I was working on, you know, I was pitching a joke to someone who's like, no. And I was like, I think that joke works, and pitches to someone else. They're like, yeah, that's funny. Like, hey, come listen to this joke. And like, it made it into the script. And I'll never forget like that first person saying no. And it wasn't, maybe I told the joke wrong, right? Or maybe they didn't find that joke particularly funny, or maybe they were worried about the politics of the situation, or maybe they had like thought about eating lunch that day and didn't even like listen to half my joke, right? And it's just sort of like, it's so hard to then, and this was one of the things that I found really challenging. Like I couldn't put my personal worth into they liked my joke or not, because I had no idea why they would or would not like my joke. Right. And then it turned out to be perfectly funny and everyone loved it. And it was validated by hundreds of laughing people. Right. But that's a hard position to be in at times.
That personal worth being associated with the validation is a big lesson I had to learn in my life. You know, that was tough. That was tough. Yeah. You know, I don't fucking know. I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like Jamie's always been, just to pick on him a little bit, Jamie's already always been good about having that internal validation of, I like what I'm doing, or this is what I'm interested in, or like, this is interesting enough for me. And I do think that sometimes that gives confidence, or that gives a different aura to performance. And I don't know if you guys have seen this as well, but does that, Chris, can you tell when someone comes into one of your workshops and they're like internally validated by what they're doing, maybe for better or for worse, right? Because that could also be a bad thing, I guess.
You almost never see it, to be honest. And maybe someone has an iota of what they think might be funny, but as soon as they try to be funny and it doesn't go anywhere, they're back to like, as a matter of fact, I wish more people came into the room with a little more sense of who they are comedically or as a performer. Cause I'm not trying to break anybody down to do it my way. On the contrary, I'm trying to level the field so people can find their own voices. You know, people that want to do the more slow or dramatic stuff, great. Or the more absurd stuff, great. But too many times you have these students with big eyes looking up to you saying, tell me who I am, or tell me how to do this. And yeah, Jamie didn't have that. And you know, and I don't think I always agreed with every move Jamie made or something, but that is like something you can't note, you know. It's like, oh, a difference, taste preferences or whatever, you know. But like, there is something nice about Jamie having that kind of idea of what he liked. I'm telling you, these people walk in and that said, let's see, I've like coached a more, how would I say, a more mature team. Mm-hmm. I've coached a team that's been together for, I think it was like 8 years. I don't want to get too specific, but it was weird because these are a group of people that have their own individual improv experiences and then as a team. And what I saw as their idea of like what they think is like good or funny or the way they want to go felt stale to me, which was interesting. Like, oh, I totally read what you're doing. You're actually very successful at doing the thing that you want to be doing, but it feels like nobody has pushed you to look in a different direction in a while, which has been interesting too. So we have the student that doesn't know who they are and they want you to tell them, or the people who know who they are but should make a change, which is something I'll say both of you did for me and Jamie continues to do for me, is like, I go, well, this would be the stupidest thing. And they'll go, we'll try that one then. And I'm like, huh. So I have grown and shifted. And I think it would have been very easy for me to kind of grow stale as this kind of improv dinosaur and like not really budge. You know, Sam, my workshops went from like, do you, how to take care of yourself in scenes and shows, so like very specific point of view workshops. This is how you do this workshops, to now it's like, come see stuff. And I feel better as an artist that way, but a little scary when you're trying to sell a class to somebody when it's just like kind of, yeah. I don't know. Let's see how we feel today. I think that's the way it should be done, to be honest, but mm-hmm. It's hard to sell people on that.
Interesting. I mean, Jamie, what was it like working with someone like me who has a crippling need for validation from all of our coaches and the audience? Did you feel that or did you not feel that?
I felt that I felt bad for you. I'm just kidding.
Most people do. Most people do.
I don't know. I was interested in kind of opening you up a little bit, just to, but I also simultaneously appreciated your grounding, kind of traditional approach against my psychosis as a, you know, so I appreciated, you know, trying to find, as Chris always said, pop punk. Like what can we do kind of, so I appreciated the kind of the contradicting force that you might've brought to stage. And, you know, so I feel like collaborating was actually beneficial. I actually don't look for people. I guess I said earlier that, you know, you want to collaborate with people who see the same things, but I want to collaborate with people who have same ideas of an end result, but not necessarily are just exactly like me, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that would look like. But I appreciated it. I appreciated it. I felt bad for you because I always felt like I was getting all the attention because I was like doing weird stuff and against your backdrop of normal traditional improv, that stood out, whereas yours kind of just looked like, you know, it was, I don't know.
I don't know. We must have told the joke on this show where you were sort of like, you know, the lamb dish, and I was like the white rice underneath it. And like, no one goes to the restaurant to order white rice, but if you don't have it, that lamb dish doesn't quite have the full full savory effect you would want it to, right? But yeah, it was definitely interesting being in rehearsals, and you know, Chris would be like, oh my god, Jamie, fantastic. And like, there, that was hard at times from like a validation perspective, but I actually think what was harder was when you as a performer would ignore me as a performer. And so as a performer, I was seeking validation of my improv choice, and it wasn't gonna come from you. And it, I think one of the best things that working with you did for me was then sort of give me the confidence of like, no, this is the choice I wanna make for myself. I'm validating it for myself. This is what's fun for me right now. And I really credit you with like helping me grow in that way. Because I see a lot of performers, right, stuck in that 11s. And I think part of that is like, you validate my thing, yes. And I'm validating your thing, yes. And like, we just kind of get stuck in, we're both doing great. It doesn't quite work out.
Yeah. I mean, philosophically, that's like the difference between like, you know, I don't know, the IO and the annoyance, you know, the yes mm-hmm. and model where we just yes and each other into oblivion versus, no, I'm going to do my thing. You do your thing. We'll figure out where that overlaps. And that'll be where this scene exists.
Mm-hmm. Though having spent time in both of those worlds and planting flags in both of those worlds, the truth is none of that is, there's no correct way, but like, it's always a fucking melding from piece to piece, from scene to scene, from line to line. You know, sometimes we can't, just like they all say, we go to places we didn't consider we would be going if we were doing it by ourselves, you know, and I yes and that moment. And then we're taken to a new world. Sorry, I'm speaking crazily because I want to say this really quick, Sam. As a coach, though, I appreciated having you there as like a solid like rock, like somebody that understood the words I was saying, that spent time at IO with me. Like we spoke the same language, where I might have been impressed by some of Jamie's moves, but I also remember thinking a lot of this was almost never going to work. Putting a cube over his head or something, you know, like a theater. I'm like, what to what? And furthermore, and this is not about Jamie, but I will say the one, you know, I'm looking always like side to side, like the future and where I've come from and where I want to go and experiment and the stuff I want to bring with me. I still, and not for every show or for every piece, but I still like a bit of professionalism, a bit of like showmanship, if you will. And I think you have that. I think you did enough shows, saw enough shows with like people that were kind of learning from the old school. I think sometimes some of that's missing. Not every time. But there is something that you had that was a depth, a history to you that was important, I think. Because if it's just two lamb chops running around the stage, I don't know. I want some rice. yeah, I think you two were a perfect, I don't know, perfect, but a really great companionship. Like it was really, really, it was really special, and it was fun to be in that room. And to be honest, if you two did a two-person show tonight, all these years later, all the different experiences you've both had, I bet it would be a great show tonight. Not that you didn't have great shows back then, but I just feel like you both are, I don't know, settling, and like you've gained this experience. It's making you stronger. I'm done talking. I'm just falling all over the place. But don't you think if you two did a show tonight, you wouldn't feel nervous? Like you'd feel pretty confident doing a show.
Yeah. I think, and whenever we meet back up, we slip into it very easily. It's just like whatever that sort of shorthand that we have creatively, which is really nice. And I mean, like that's its own form of validation, right? And I don't know if that also comes from experience or if that's voice too, but you know, I was struggling with something recently where, you know, without a philosophy, you know, why am I going to respond yes or no? Well, I'm going to respond yes because I'm agreeing and that's a philosophy. Well, I'm going to respond no because I'm going to be truthful and that's a philosophy. Well, you know what? We're just going to feel it out. It's like, all right, well, do I respond yes or no then? And like, it's a little bit more amorphous, right? And I don't have that validation of like, okay, I did the thing that I was told to do and that worked or didn't work for other reasons, but like, I can validate that. With experience now, I can kind of say like, all right, yeah, I've been around a bit. I know if that's good or not. Jamie's experienced. He knows how to make me look good, which I say a little tongue in cheek. But yeah, I don't know. Now I've sort of gone off on a rambling tangent, but yes, we would have a great show tonight. And also I think experience helps with some of the validation stuff we're talking about.
And listen, I mean, we're going to wrap this up soon, but the validation of peers that you respect can also feel like a hug. It can feel really nice when you feel like you're being seen. Even that is a bit of validation. I feel like we did that a lot in that room. Jamie, you and I, we don't rehearse as much, but like even the stuff we're doing with Liam, we'd all look at each other and be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was even a bit of validation just for each other that felt exciting, you know? Mm-hmm. And we still didn't know once we left that room if they were going to validate us, the audiences, but it was nice to have that. Because if it was yeah, yeah, no, two no's and a yeah, that's a little, you know, it gets a little clunky, but there were so many times where we just like look up after a piece and be like, fucking felt good. And that I appreciate. That I really enjoy. Last time I mentioned Organism tonight, well, maybe not today. When we did the show the other night, Craig Gutkowski was in the house, you know? I love Craig so much and respect him as a improviser and a person and a friend. And I don't, you know, I want to do my pure show regardless of who's in the house, but I can't help but be affected on like some cellular level of like wanting some validation from him. And maybe even some subconsciously I make moves that I wouldn't otherwise have made, which is interesting. It's a whole another topic. But afterwards, when he said that he thought the Organism was pure play, that really meant a lot to me. That doesn't feel like ego to me, though it might be. It felt like heart. And I like that validation that somebody I love said, that felt good. That's important to me. It's not the end all, but that's important to me. So.
Yeah, it's, I like how you're saying it's like a hug, you know, and I think we can all use a hug sometimes. And, I'm speaking of a specific friend. I don't want to like mention any names, but like, I know they took a class and I think they were talking to the teacher and the teacher just sort of said to them, like, I can tell you know what you're doing. And that meant so much to them at that moment because they've been doing it for a while. They, you know, it can be hard when you're bouncing between different projects or you haven't performed in a while or whatever. And it was just like that little hug is a really nice thing.
Yeah. Jamie, anything on the way out?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with all that. That's, you said it better than I did, Chris, but I think that's the kind of validation I'm interested in. It's not the external, have the shows, have the audience, but like in rehearsals where it's, you know, just the people you're creatively collaborating with. And when you kind of strike gold and it's just like, ah, that electricity that then runs through your body because it's that excitement. It's like, oh yeah, that was fucking amazing. That's the kind of validation I like. But even that, I don't even know that I would consider that validation, you know, because like, it's just, I don't know. It's creative satisfaction. I don't know. I don't know what the word is. Maybe I'll think about it and I'll do an addendum to this episode, but that's the moment that keeps me motivated and keeps me striving to figure things out, especially when it feels like it's really our own brand of, you know, performance. It's less satisfying to get validated playing somebody else's game than it is to create your own game and then have success there, which is finally, hopefully, I think where personally I am getting to for a long time. And most of my time with Sam, we had these huge ideas of all these things we wanted to do, but we just I don't know that we were strong enough either independently or together to get there. Our performance levels didn't match our taste. We had this level of what we wanted to reach, but we just could never quite get there. We were scratching. Sometimes we'd strike gold and it would just be a blip on the radar. But for the most part, it was tons and tons of failure. But now I feel like finally my performance abilities are starting to align with my taste. And that's feeling very, very good. And that's that kind of solid performance energy that I think you were talking about earlier. I do feel very solid. I feel like I could join Sam tonight for a show and we'd have a great show just before you even logged on, Chris, because no offense, you were a couple minutes late. Sam and I were doing physical bits on the Zoom camera. We weren't even saying anything. We were just like playing around with stupid stuff. So just like immediately it just starts to come back. But yeah, no, it's all good.
Awesome. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're in the, you know, LA area, I'm always teaching. I'm always doing workshops. Go to chris-alvarado.com. You know, I'm going back and forth and I got to change that fucking website, you know, but for right now, that's where it's at. A lot of information, all my shows, an organism show coming up February 17th with Jamie. We got our live direct show every other Monday. I got Heyday the other Mondays. You want me to coach? You want to take one of my classes? Go to chris-alvarado.com. Jamie, sell it, baby, although you don't have to.
If anybody wants to take a clown cardio class, you can find out more at thenewyorktimes.com.
Oh, damn. Woo! Woo! Sam, anything on the way out?
I will be performing my solo sitcom show at Comedy Sports Philadelphia the first weekend of February.
Wait, is this true?
Yeah, very excited for it. I've been working on a solo sitcom show for a while. And I honestly, like, I am scared to death of the validation on this piece because I don't even know if I'm going to like it. I don't know if the audience is going to like it. I'm terrified. But if you're in the Mid-Atlantic area, come on down and check it out. And I just want to say to everyone listening, if you've been listening this long, you love improv and we love you. I just want to give you the validation that you did a good thing today. You learned something and we all grew together.